thankful to be with you all this weekend. My wife Christy is over here as well. Also glad to be here. We also have five girls that are at home by themselves, so they're excited that we're here. Our oldest Anna is a senior in high school this year and is hanging out with our kiddos, so we're grateful to be here. Why don't you turn just briefly with me tonight, if you have your Bible, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're not going to spend a lot of time tonight. It's late, and we're going to let you get to partying, and so let's get to sleep. But the theme of our time together this weekend is glorifying God in the season of singleness. You know, this is a theme that we're going to jump around a little bit in the scriptures to look at in different places, but we're particularly going to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which is one of the most comprehensive passages on singleness in the Bible. And if you notice, it begins with Paul saying, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote." This is a chapter and kind of a transition in 1 Corinthians where Paul is now responding to different questions that the Corinthians had written to him. And so he's going to answer some questions that they had raised. Now, he doesn't tell us the exact question that he's answering, but it has to do with the idea of marriage and singleness and whether we should remain in the state that we're in, particularly in light of someone coming to faith in Christ. And so he's going to address in this chapter different situations that were prevalent in that culture and in the Corinthian church. Whether people should remain married if they come to Christ, and perhaps if their spouse is not a believer, or whether they should remain married if they are a believer, and whether they should be focused more on just devotion to Christ, or if we're single, how we should think about that in relation to marriage as well. And so this chapter gives some great principles for all of us, but tonight I just want to give you two thoughts, two larger principles that really are foundational to this topic in this chapter for us to think about. Two things that really, if we don't start with these things, and I think you all want to be here, you all are committed to following Christ, I think, which is why you're participating in a group like this and a retreat like this, but I just want to remind us of these things. So if we're going to glorify God in the season of singleness, that starts with a commitment to glorify God in every season of life. You see, Paul is not just going to tell us that if you are single, this needs to be a focus. In fact, this chapter even implies that no matter your marital status, whether you are married to a believer, whether you're married to an unbeliever who doesn't want to be in the marriage, or who does, or you are single, what matters most is what God says about how you should live. He says what is key in any season of life is your commitment to honor God in that and to obey Him in the midst of that. You see, Paul's chief concern in any situation or season of life is how does God call us to respond in a way that honors Him? How do we glorify God in that? This is a universal biblical truth, isn't it? That we are to live not for ourselves, but for God. As Nathan mentioned, I'm our family pastor, children's pastor, and I teach kids a lot. The analogy that I give them when we're thinking about glorifying God is that of a spotlight. And who is to be in the spotlight? Well, in that spotlight, all the time is to be God, to be Christ. He's the one who the focus, the attention is to be on. We are to live in such a way that the spotlight is not on us. We're not living in a way that attracts attention and the focus on us, but that shines the light on God. You know, Paul makes it clear that this is to be our consideration in any season and circumstance. In fact, after this, in chapters 8 through 10, he's going to answer some questions about issues of conscience and how to respond to circumstances that we find ourselves in where it's a little bit maybe gray areas on what the Bible has to say about those. And his conclusion, or one of his conclusions in chapter 10, verse 31, a familiar verse, he says, "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do," doesn't matter how you are living in that particular moment, "you do all," he says, "for the glory of God." Regardless, that's the overriding principle of our life, is to live for the glory of God. Why is that right? Why is it appropriate for us to say, the spotlight shouldn't shine on me, it should shine on God? What are your thoughts? Why is that appropriate and right?
God created us.
Yeah, because God created us. It's a joy to be outside the city, isn't it? To be in the world that God has made, to see a little more of the creation and to enjoy those things. And to be reminded, God made all this, spoke it into existence. He is the creator who is rightly worthy of glory. What else?
We're nothing, but God gave us everything.
Yeah, we're nothing and of ourselves, but God is the one who's given us everything, every blessing that we enjoy in this life.
It's His work.
Yeah, it's God's work. He's the one who acts, who does good and those things.
God is infinitely greater than us.
Yeah, He's infinitely greater than us. You know, sometimes I used to think that the kind of timeless principle was like, don't give glory to yourself. Like, that's the eternal principle and truth. But that's not really true. And when you think about God, it's right for God to be chiefly concerned with His own glory. You know, we might look at that and think, well, that's kind of selfish of God, isn't it? I mean, we shouldn't want to glorify ourselves. But really, the principle is only God deserves glory because He's infinitely greater than us. He's the creator who made everything. He deserves it. So it's wrong for us to glorify ourselves, not because we're being selfish, simply, but because we are robbing God of the glory that He is due. Yes, God deserves all the glory because of who He is, because of His character and nature as the creator of all things, but also because of what He has done. Flip back to 1 Corinthians 6. Again, the context of our passage today, he's flowing out of some instructions regarding sexual immorality, and he specifically says in chapter 6 about how we are to glorify God with our bodies. In chapter 6, verse 20, he says, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." You see, God deserves all the glory because of who He is, but He also deserves all the glory from us because of what He has done for us, because of the sacrifice that He made on our behalf through His Son. And our response is to be, He now owns us. We're twice bought. We were made by Him, and now we were purchased again by Him in Christ, and so we should glorify Him. And so tonight, I just want us to begin with the consideration, not am I committed to glorifying God in my singleness, but am I committed to glorify God in every season and circumstance of my life? Is that my chief priority? Am I okay if the spotlight is never on me and it is always on Christ? I was talking with my wife the other night, and we were just thinking about how it's easy to think that's what we want when we're kind of like sharing a little bit of the spotlight, maybe, and when we're kind of getting some of the attention, but it's mostly on God, it's like, yeah, that's what I want. But when we are like totally out of the spotlight, that's where we see our heart is. If nobody remembers you, if nobody notices you, if nobody cares about you or me, are we okay with that if Christ is the one who is exalted? See, the first fundamental commitment we need to ask is, am I committed to glorifying God in every season of life? But a second foundational principle, just briefly, is this. It's that we are to be trusting God in this season of life, whatever this season of life is. You know, regardless of what the season of life is, we're to trust God in it. Whether that's a season of singleness or a season of marriage, whether that's a season of joy or of sorrow, of sickness or health, of employment or prosperity, of unemployment or want, of trial or of ease. In the midst of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says this. He says, "As the Lord has assigned each of you, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk." That's an interesting phrase. The Lord has assigned you. And he goes on and talks about those who are circumcised or uncircumcised, and then he talks about those who are slaves and those who are free. And he'll compare that as well in the context of marriage, use similar ideas. And the thing I want you to focus on is that it says that God has assigned to us those seasons of life. God is sovereign over all the details of life. We are not in a season of life apart from God's will, from His assignment for us. That doesn't mean that's wrong to seek to change our circumstances or to work to be in a different season of life. We'll talk more about that. But it does mean that our attitude should be one of trust and acceptance of where God has us now. John MacArthur puts it this way in a helpful way, I think. He says, we should be satisfied to be where God has put us, to accept what the Lord has assigned us, and to be faithful in whatever condition God has called us. You know, another biblical word for that is contentment. We're satisfied with where we are. We accept God's assignment regardless of what that is. And I would suggest that it's really this attitude that frees us to glorify God in any season of life. You see, if we are so focused on changing our circumstances or our season of life, we're going to miss the opportunities that God has given us to glorify Him in the midst of those seasons of life. We have to move beyond the focus of changing things and embrace the fact that God has given us opportunities to glorify Him in the midst of this. Again, that doesn't mean that we just totally check out and don't do anything that would change the circumstances of our life. But it means we keep our focus on how can I honor God in this and through this more than how can I change this. And so if we struggle to glorify God in a particular season of life, I would suggest that one of the issues that's going on is either we're not committed to glorifying God generally, or we're not trusting God with that particular season of our life. But if you're committed to that, if you say, man, I want to glorify God. I want my life to be lived in such a way that the spotlight is on Him because He deserves it. He's worthy of that because of who He is and all that He has done. And I trust Him. I know that He is good. I know that He is wise. That frees us to think specifically about what does it look like to glorify God in this season of life. For most of us here, most of you here, that season of singleness. And that's what we want to consider together. We're going to look tomorrow at really the primary benefit of singleness that Paul describes. Paul says, I'm excited to be single. And I'm in fact excited if you're single. And the chief reason for that is because of the opportunity it gives for undistracted devotion to the Lord. And Sunday we'll consider the fact that God has not called everyone to remain in that state. And what does it look like to rightly desire and consider and pursue marriage when we're single while still trusting the Lord? Desiring something that we don't have and yet trusting the Lord in that situation. And then Sunday we'll consider the importance of relationships when single, not relationships that lead to marriage, but just the relationships that God has intended for us as those who are part of the body of Christ. The fact that we are single but not alone. God has not intended for us to live in that way. So look forward to the time. Look forward to the study of God's Word together and just the opportunity to fellowship. Look forward to talking to you guys, get to know you more. One of the joys of us getting to be here is just getting to rub shoulders with you guys that we don't get a chance to do that a lot. There's a handful of you that I have known since you were really little. And it's fun to reconnect and to get to be with you guys. But a lot of you guys, this is a unique opportunity for us. So we look forward to that. Hope that you'll be encouraged by our time and blessed by our study as well. So let's pray together. And then we're going to sing and just be reminded of who God is and what He's done in our hearts to glorify Him. Father, we do thank You for our time together. We're thankful that we can be out in the world that You've made and just enjoy and get them away from the details of life to fix our hearts and minds on You. And I pray that that would really be the case for each of us this weekend, that we would be refreshed in You and Your Word, that we'd be refreshed by the fellowship that we can enjoy, and that You would just give us a fresh commitment to glorify You in every season of life, but particularly in this season of life that You have us right now. Lord, we thank You that You have been gracious to us, that You have bought us with a price, at great cost to Yourself, and may we live and sing now with a heart that is eager to glorify You. In Christ's name. Amen.